Welcome back in this very exciting awards week to the Film Experience. I'm Nathaniel, and I'm here with my regular co-host, Murtada El-Fadl.
Hello, everyone. Excited to talk awards.
And we have a special guest, a special returning encore sensation, Nick Davis.
Jacob Marley, ghost of podcast past, shaking my chains.
How have you been?
I've been great. I'm spending the whole month just writing about things I love. It's a real tonic.
Yes. And you turned down a screening of Richard Jewell to be with us today.
I did.
And with how much I've been selling that as a must-see, how could you?
I mean...
That was definitely not a Sophie's choice. I think it was an easy choice. No.
That's right.
I'm dying to hear what you thought of it.
Sophie's Choice is probably a movie that needed a slut journalist in it. I think that might have filled it right out.
Along with Sophie's Choices, it's many other problematic issues. But that's a topic for another time.
I mean, what is the topic today? So many awards. Where do we start?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, where do you start? I think the SAG nominations were this morning. We're recording on Wednesday. And I think the very first thing I noticed was that Little Women was shut out. Which I guess shouldn't be that surprising because of SAG's issue with late-breaking movies. Yet, on the other hand, some of their surprises were for movies that had also not opened yet, like Jamie Foxx and Just Mercy.
Mm-hmm. But I also think, like, Little Women is just not doing well with the guilds. Like, no costume design, no production design, no editing guild. Like, it's been blanked by everyone. Even the Golden Globes are like, all right, Desplat and Ronan, and that's it. Bye!
Yeah, so I'm not... Nick, have you had an opportunity to see Little Women yet?
I have not, but I do go to the website, The Film Experience, and there was this anonymous SAG voter who named it in their predictions as, like, super, super late sending out screeners, and they had said they were guessing it was going to get left out because nobody had the movie until the last second. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if that's true. I mean, it doesn't explain the Globes, but I wonder if it's true of these other guilds, too.
Also, I had to beg to get invited to a screening of Little Women for like a month. So I don't know what their strategy is. Like, I'm disposed to love this movie. I shouldn't have to beg a month to get into it.
Right.
That's What's true. The most demeaning thing you offered to do to get into Little Women?
I mean, I guess in the end I got invited before my demeaning offers were starting, so...
Okay. Well done.
But I was ready. I was ready. I was at the point where I was getting desperate.
It takes me way less than a month to demean myself. I'm impressed with you.
Yeah, it was hard to get into.
I don't know. I'm not that concerned for Little Women, really. I mean, maybe I should be. I don't know. I also haven't seen it, so I don't know how much I care. But it seems like there are other factors at work. And that Just Mercy and Bombshell, I gather, have been quite aggressive in courting those guilds.
I mean, Bombshell, I basically was the opposite of Little Women. I got invited to, like, 8 screenings instead of begging for just one.
Yeah, that's true. Bombshell was very, very aggressive with the screenings. But I only saw one thing for Just Mercy.
Uh-huh.
So, who knows?
It's always
a magical formula that gets you nominated, which is why so many people try in so many different ways.
I was excited that, did you see the tidbit that Little Women came in 3rd for picture and director with the LA Film Critics? They only announced the first runner-up, but it was in the article the next day.
Oh, interesting.
Kind of nice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I'll say about Little Women, and we can close it because it hasn't opened, people haven't seen it, is that I do prefer it over some of the movies that are getting nominated everywhere, but it's not the one that's, its exclusion is breaking my heart.
So which one is that?
I think that's Hustlers. Like, yes, J-Lo is the best thing about Hustlers, but Hustlers should have gotten in, I think, for editing. I mean, the writing should have been recognized, the directing.
Fucking stunt ensemble.
Yes.
For real, right? I mean, The Irishman? Whatever. Pole dance or fire a gun? I know which one's harder. Don't ask me how I know.
That's true.
Like Murtada, would you include like Constance Wu not making that slightly anemic Golden Globe actress comedy roster as?
Actually, I don't think that's a snub. I don't think she deserved to be nominated.
Okay.
And yeah, I'm going to be mean for just one second. Okay. I think J-Lo is such a force in that movie that you sort of miss that there is a very weak performance at the center. And that's all I'm going to say.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
You liked her in it? Constance
Wu? Yeah, I did.
Yeah. I liked her fine, but I do think it was... I do think the J-Lo factor is maybe why it didn't get play in something like Outstanding Cast. Because even though it has a good cast, and there's a lot of good performances in it, I loved Kiki in it, for example. I think J-Lo so overpowers it. Her charisma turned up to 11 that I think maybe people don't notice that other people are good in the movie, if that makes sense.
I also wonder if, like, I mean, we're all still pained by our memories of what happened to Magic Mike, even McConaughey, but this makes me feel like even J-Lo getting across the line is actually kind of an accomplishment if, like, there's still that much bias against films, like, set in this milieu or anything like it, so... trying to be happy with what we're getting.
But J-Lo is working it. Like, the New York Times A.O. Scott just interviewed her for the cover of the magazine. And that's like a love letter if I've ever seen a love letter. And then today she has this big profile in IndieWire. So,
she's working for it.
She's working for it. But also she's getting the sort of like if you read the profile by A.O. Scott, it's exactly what you want somebody like that to write about your performance. Because he's basically saying, this is a performance, a great performance. This is not her being herself, which is what you hear from people who are like, whatever about Hustlers.
Right.
The star power is so magnetic that people just think, oh, she's just being herself. But she's not. And that's exactly what the Times said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, agreed. I also loved her in the snippets we've seen so far of the actress roundtable, where I was really surprised that they made time to ask everybody about nudity, because they never do that. But I really loved her answers in that conversation. But I don't know if you've seen the hilarious moment where they've excised already of Laura Dern at the end of the conversation, just taking a minute to thank everybody for being amazing angels here on the earth. And J-Lo's looking at her like, you have no shame. Like, is that what a man? This bitch is beating me at this. Like, I'm supposed to thank these people and call them angels? So... I just can't wait to see that whole thing, but
I haven't seen that. Now I have to run and find it.
YouTube
is
now.
Is the whole thing available now?
No, not for.
Oh, I never watch it until the whole thing's available. I can't take the snippets. I need the whole thing injected into me.
I can tell you that Lupita is this year's like I'm totally over this participant. Which I hear you. Well done.
Anyway. Oh, but I worry about that, though, because I don't think Lupita's a sure thing, even though she should be, for her nomination.
Well, over it to the extent of, like, I actually don't really feel like talking about nudity and inclusion is not a new conversation. How about that? Like,
okay.
Yeah.
She's doing well. Like, you know.
She is doing well.
Won New York, came in second at L.A., got the SAG. I mean, she only blanked the Golden Globes, which are like, whatever. They didn't even give her the award that year, and they gave it to Jennifer Lawrence again. So,
that's
whatever,
true.
Globes, we know you don't like Lupita, but you're wrong.
That is true.
Whereas, I guess if we're leading off with the things that, and I might be putting words in your mouth, Nathaniel, is Little Women, the omission that distresses you the most, because I guess for Murtada it's Hustlers.
Oh, at which thing in general with the awards week?
Just because you started with it, yeah.
I'm more concerned about The Farewell.
Oh.
I know you're not a huge fan of that, Nick. You haven't been on the podcast, so people don't know what you feel this year about Maggie. But I was really, really moved by the farewell, and I was really, like, hoping it would get a second wind by now with awards, but it doesn't. It's sort of hanging around the conversation, but not in the way that I think would require it in order to get something like Zhao Shushan nominated for supporting actress and or a Best Picture nomination. Or but I'm hoping it can still show up in screenplay, which is initially what I thought was would be its easiest get.
I mean, it's not dead yet. The editors nominated it today. And so that's one guild, an influential guild, that liked it. Obviously, they have two categories, drama and comedy, and that's why it got in, out of 10, not out of 5. But I think still, it's still alive. You know, the Golden Globes gave it 2. It's working. I think at least it will get the writing.
And am I wrong that Awkwafina is going to sail to that globe, just looking at the competition?
Yeah, she has no competition in that category. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
She will get... airtime.
Unless they pull a weird thing. Remember Amy Adams winning for Big Eyes. You know, occasionally
please
something happens.
Stop
like that.
Saying things like that. I just had a really tough moment when I was logging on for this, where I opened the wrong IMDb Globe page, and it reminded me that Bohemian Rhapsody won for drama last year. This is a hard night already. Yes, I remember Big Eyes.
You're like, and it's very hard because I'm missing Richard Jewell to be here.
Two strikes. I'm on thin ice.
But the one thing about Amy Adams versus Awkwafina is that I don't think Amy Adams was up against anybody who was in serious contention for an Oscar nomination. Oh. So Awkwafina, of those 5, is the only one who has a chance. Like, the other 4 have no chance whatsoever of getting nominated for an Oscar.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's probably hers. But unless they really want to hear Emma Thompson speak, and who doesn't want to hear Emma Thompson speak at every opportunity?
Fair. Well, if we're talking about, like, most painful omissions, I'm going to go straight to Clemency, because I don't understand how good a performance you have to give. I understand it's not in release, but, like...
It's neither or half of these things.
Like, I thought we could be in a moment where, like, maybe Alfre's acclaim will spread to Aldous Hodge so that he, too, can get nominated. And after those Gotham lists, that was, like, the one moment where something like that seemed possible. But I do not understand the resistance to... I don't know what the problem is, unless it's just that Neon is doubling down on Parasite, which they should... absolutely support that movie as much as they can, but it just seems. And are they Bombshell also?
No.
Their Portrait of a Lady on Fire, right? Which they've already shot backing away from for a second. And
I think they're just spending all their resources on Parasite. It's working out.
It is, but it just reminds me of Moonlight 20th Century Women problem, where, like, distributors who have great tastes suddenly. It's a good problem to have that one of your movies is, like, blasting off into the stratosphere, but it just makes me sad that there's maybe not enough to go around.
Yeah.
But you and, guys.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm keeping the faith. I think Alfre Woodard will Marina de Tavera her way to a nomination this year.
Nothing would make me, literally.
You are, wow. You do have faith, Murtada. Because I'm losing faith daily that there can be any surprise in Best Actress, because even with the differences in Globe and SAG, you know, the difference, it doesn't seem to give a lot of wiggle room for her.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Like, if you look at it, it's probably like 7 people, right? And she's not in them.
Mm-hmm.
At the most, 7. It could be even 6.
Yeah, so... But who knows, maybe Bombshell will turn out to be one of those weird things that was just a SAG thing. Because the reviews aren't great for Bombshell.
Yeah.
This is one of the issues I have with the backloading every year, because when a movie's, all of its press is based on its awards campaign before people really get to know the movie, it ends up having these very skewed and very strange, like, waves of, like, this movie's everything and this movie's trash and whatever, and then nobody has, like, an opinion that feels really thought out beyond that it hasn't been tainted in some way by wondering about its awards potential.
Bombshell's an example of this.
Bombshell's an example of this, right? Because it's think of how long it's been in people have been discussing it already, and yet it still is not out.
Yeah.
And it's already gone through these, you know, waves of, like, Charlie's going to win again, to, like, this movie's trash. And, you know, it's like,
it's the same thing with Vice last year. Everybody was like, oh, Amy's going to win. And then it came out, and no. It got all the nominations, but it gave us that amazing moment where the makeup won. But that's it. You know, I think you're right. It's following the same trajectory.
Yeah, and I guess that's why I object so much to all the backloading, because it just doesn't feel like a way to have an honest, like, shot at being viewed as a movie.
Yeah.
You know, not just a vessel to procure nominations.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess I'm a hypocrite because I talk about awards all year long and what movie might get awards. But it bothers me a lot with Christmas releases.
I mean, the other person who didn't, looking at your agenda, Nathaniel, is Robert De Niro, who I think Nick and I, if I read your Twitter correctly, we are fans both of that performance, but Nathaniel isn't.
No, I mean, I watched a little bit of The Irishman again the other day, just because I was looking for, like, an image, and so I ended up watching, like, a couple scenes, and remembering, as most people have stated, that he's quite good in the last hour of the movie, like, very moving, and it's not a flat performance, like, there's a lot going on, but I just find him so blank for half of the movie. Like, I wish I could say that I could, you know, look through the special effects and not be annoyed, but it wouldn't be true. I just don't feel anything when I feel like the face is not the face. And whereas with the other actors, like, it didn't really bother me. I didn't really notice it. But with him, for whatever reason, it just really bothered me. I couldn't get into the performance. It seemed very like a mask rather than a performance.
Yeah. I get that. It wasn't 100% my experience of it, but I had a little bit of that, and I do believe that is probably the issue that's keeping him at number 6 or whatever's happening, that I think in a less competitive year he might be getting on that list anyway, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's what's holding people back about him.
So is the 5 who are going to get nominated, the 5 at SAG, take away Edgerton, put in Banderas, and you've got your Oscar 5?
I still think De Niro's going to get nominated at the Oscars. Just because I think Oscar voters tend to go all in on movies that they like. And it seems like Irishman is probably running second to Parasite right now and could overtake it in the final run, because I think people might start shying away from Parasite later on because, you know, they've never been able to convince themselves to give the top prizes to foreign movies, you know?
But look at what hear what you just said. You said The Irishman is running second to Parasite. Did we ever expect to hear that at this time
in the Oscar race?
That's amazing. That's fantastic. Well done.
No, and
Parasite.
Listen, I am like a huge Parasite fan. I am obsessed with it. But it's even better the second time. So if you've only seen it once, people go again. I don't know. I think De Niro's gonna make it. I think the overall love for the movie will pull him in.
Does that mean Bale comes out for you?
Yeah, I mean, I've always thought Bale was more of a possibility than other people thought. For a while, I was predicting him. Like, I do think, for example, he's more of a possibility than Leonardo DiCaprio, which most people think is a much stronger possibility. But I think Oscars are going to, you know, they're going to feel like, oh, we did that, as you know, sometimes when people run campaigns that are entirely about I'm overdue, I think a lot of times they do take breaks from people.
Kate Winslet agrees with you.
Yes. Susan Sarandon, etc.
But similar to The Irishman, wouldn't you say that since Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is so strong, it will just bring Leo in with it?
Yeah, that's possible. But I do, like, the SAG nominations, like, also Jonathan Pryce isn't there. And I'm still expecting...
Oh, yeah.
And I'm still expecting him to show up, too. Although I would not be heartbroken if the Two Popes vanished. I think the Two Popes is cute, and I know that sounds like a horribly dismissive, but I think it's an entertaining movie, but it's the type of movie... And Nick, have you seen that yet?
No, it's playing in one theater in the suburbs.
Yeah, it's the type of movie that I think people would have, like, gone bonkers for in sort of the Weinstein era, and they would have pushed it really, really, really hard. And then 5 years later, people have been like, ugh, that only got those nominations because they pushed it so hard, ignoring the fact that a lot of the movies that they pushed really hard, people did actually genuinely like a lot. So I think it's in that realm of, like, it's very likable, but I'm just not sure people will respect themselves in a year if they go crazy for it in terms of nominating it for everything.
Are you subtweeting Katie Rich right now?
Man, I mean,
you
the
stopped
Irishman...
doing this podcast and it's fair game, huh? I know what you say about me when I'm not around. Sorry, what, Murtada?
I was just going to say, like, The Irishman and Marriage Story kind of erupted more when they became available on Netflix, and The Two Popes doesn't actually come out on Netflix until just a couple of days before Christmas. So maybe that will give it a second. That's like a perfect time for it to, for people to start talking about it and for people to then just vote for it because they're hearing about it every day. But I don't know that it actually has the oomph to get people talking.
Mm-hmm.
Although everybody seems to use those same words, like cute, and like in a season that's full of movies about men killing each other, I can imagine that there might be room for something that's a little sweeter, maybe.
Yeah.
But it is about the Catholic Church, and the underlying thing that they literally do not mention and put the volume down when they start talking about is the sexual abuse of children. How is this cute? I just think it's mediocre and a hack job from the writer.
Ooh. Murtada's got fighting words tonight. Actually, you always do, kind of. You're like throwing some Molotov cocktails here and there. You're like, let's discuss.
But I am going back to like the number of conversations I'm sure all three of us had last year with Green Book people who you'd be like, but why isn't this movie about any of the things that it's about? And they're like, I just want to feel good about something, was what I heard over and over again. Or like, it's just fun. It's just, I like their chemistry, you know, like, and it feels like this is the movie that comes closest to me in this year's crowd to thinking, I mean, I haven't seen it, but could tick that same box. Is that wrong?
Yeah.
No, I think you're right there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do we think of Joker? Joker is doing very well. Everybody has nominated it.
You guys, I just don't like that movie. I don't know if I've mentioned it. Yes, I have. Several times.
Have you seen it, Nick?
Yeah, I went up and down during it. In general, I was kind of interested in it. I don't like it, really, but I thought it was okay. I thought he was good. I didn't think... Like, I'm not scared for Heath Ledger, you know, it's clear to me who my Joker is, but I still think that Mark Harris piece from, like, a month or so ago where he was like, either it'll get nothing or one thing or everything and it's impossible to know which is still kind of how I feel about that one. Like, any of that could make sense to me.
Mm. I mean, the Golden Globes, we make fun of them. They're fun sometimes, they're crazy sometimes, but whatever it is, they are more predictive for the Oscars than the SAG Awards. So when you get a Best Picture and a Best Director at the Golden Globes, I think you're going to sail in to maybe not exactly those two nominations, but at least you will have a good day of nominations.
Yeah, I think that my theory is that it's like totally in for Best Picture. I think it's running fifth right now.
Okay.
I just put a piece on, like, what's running fifth, but my theory is that it's Joker. But I do think that Todd Phillips is not going to get nominated because, or maybe I'm projecting because I don't know how anybody couldn't feel this, but with the director's branch, who tends to have more highbrow taste than the rest of the Academy, you have the real thing in Martin Scorsese this year. So do you really want somebody who's, like, really, really trying really hard to emulate him when you have the real thing right there?
Well, yeah. It hasn't stopped him with David O. Russell. I mean, I guess the real thing was not right there. Well, it was in 2013. I don't know. I mean, I certainly think David O. Russell's a better filmmaker than Todd Phillips. But, like, there is a factor, I think, sometimes of, like, people see, like, the change of career they wish they were going to get, you know? Like, if I could make myself famous on Will Ferrell movies and suddenly I win the Golden Lion at Venice and a movie makes $1 billion, like, it feels like a slightly aspirational vote, although I would have thought the same about Todd's buddy Bradley last year. We can't go back to that. We can't go back to that. But, like, that's, the same thing will happen.
I still think Pedro Almodovar makes it into that fifth spot at director.
Ooh. Keep talking about that.
I feel like that's just flirting. You're just flirting now.
No, like, he made the movie to the same thing that you were just talking about, Nick, about the career you want. He made the late career movie that all directors want to make, that it's personal, it's brilliant, it's dealing with the demons that you want to deal with, and it is what Tarantino and Scorsese also made this year, but his is the most personal one. And with the international, that branch is very international, I think he's in.
Interesting. Well, we're going to give you credit if he gets nominated, because I think it would surprise a lot of people at this point.
And then the other thing
because
that
I think the problem it's having is that Parasite has sucked up all the oxygen, especially for international movies.
True. But Pawlikowski got in with Cuarón.
Yeah. Good point.
But the other thing is, like, who is he fighting with? Like, if we assume Tarantino and there's, like, three that are up there, he's kind of, like, fighting with Sam Mendes, right, and with Todd Phillips and maybe Noah Baumbach. 1917 did get the Globes, but it's spotty in the guilds. And it hasn't opened yet, so we don't know what it's going to do. But it, you know, that furor of, like, oh, this is the best movie ever made, it completely died. And nobody's even kind of talking about it yet. It will get a second win when it's released.
Oh,
but
for sure. Yeah, because it's technically very impressive. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I think Gerwig?
Yeah, I don't think Little Women has a chance this year. I just don't see it.
Okay.
That's what I said all year, and people just totally, like, were not pleased with me. I just think the remake factor, even though I was skeptical of it, and I was impressed with it, and it's aged well in my head. But it does have that problem of being a remake. You know, and they don't often go for those.
I think there is something about that text, too, that, I mean, I was at a holiday party with a bunch of fellow English professors the other night, so you know what we were talking about as the cocktails flowed. What do we think about Little Women? And, like, there is such a huge group of people that I would just say would be completely open to, like, I will watch this movie about this teenager in Sacramento and be willing to have that experience if this is not usually my genre. But as soon as you say Little Women to people, there are a lot of folks who just tune right out different reasons. But I don't know. That's just my sense. And, like, hearing even online a little bit both about the, like, people who can't handle the slightest ruffle of frou-fra, which of course we all love frou-fra, but also, like, the whiteness of it and the, like, how many times has this been done-ness of it, which seemed to bite stars more in the ass last year, I do kind of wonder. But I also feel like in all the furor about the all-male Globes lineup, which I'm mostly with, although when people then start talking about Olivia Wilde and the woman who made Late Night, I'm like, we don't win it. But I kind of wonder who would be the director who might stand to possibly reap the majority of that kind of support. Mm-hmm. There are voters who want to make sure that doesn't happen. Like, and she seems maybe the most likely to me in terms of having
Yeah, the most well-positioned at this point. Yeah.
Let's find all those people you're talking about and send them screeners of Atlantix. Or just tell them it's on Netflix. And let's get Maddie Diop into that directing
brand. Indeed. Now we're flirting again. The obvious one movie of the year.
Okay, let's answer some reader questions, because it'll keep us talking about all these awards thing going on. George wonders if we think there will be any surprising coattail acting nominations this year, like Marina de Tavera in Roma or Tom Hardy in The Year of the Revenant. Do we see anything like that happening for any actors this year?
Besides Aldous Hodge.
Besides what?
Aldous Hodge for Clemency. Let me have it. I would love to live in the world where Leonardo Spiraglia for Pain and Glory was in this conversation. I completely understand that he's not, but that would have been a perfect example of this. And the supporting
with Antonio's coattails. Yeah, because they have their scene together is just magic.
It's perfect. Nobody who's seen that movie doesn't, even people who don't like it, love that scene.
I think it's going to be Finn Wittrock and Jesse Buckley from Judy.
Bite your tongue.
I think it's going to be that weird person who played Liza for 10 seconds and neither looked like her nor sounded like her. You filmed it in a city full of Liza impersonators. You got your money from another city. What was that? But she'll get it.
I mean, I'm obviously joking, but I think Renee's is the only...
Judy, that's funny. Thank you, Murtaza.
But, Renee's is the only performance that's kind of so dominating that if the movie was better and the actors in it were better positioned to just... That would be the one that would have coattails, but I don't see any of the other big performances in lead to have a film that provides them with that.
Yeah. I do think that if Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was leading the pack and the sure thing for Best Picture, I do think, somebody like Julia Butters or whatever, or people who couldn't stop talking about, who plays the little actress in it, I think things like that could happen, but I think they generally only happen if there's an opening. In a category.
And if the one whose coattails you're writing is going to win, usually somebody who's an assured winner, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the coattails thing that I think would be really fun this year would be, but I think the performance merits is Alan Alda.
That's what I was going to say, too.
Yeah, and my other thing I don't think he's as good as Alan Alda, but I love Tracy Letts in Ford v Ferrari, and if that was a Best Picture thing, and Christian Bale was stronger, I think that could be, if the movie was more popular, that would be a typical coattails type of thing, because it's a small role, but he's fun in it,
Yeah. No, I think Alan Alda could actually kind of happen. Maybe. I mean, I think it's already kind of happening to Anthony Hopkins, right? People are really all about Price, but suddenly Hopkins shows up on a lot of these lists.
Confession, I thought Hopkins was better than Price in the movie.
The takes are hot here tonight.
piping hot.
And I'm not an Anthony Hopkins fan, so that is a piping hot take.
Whatever, you loved Hitchcock.
Oh my God!
Nominated film, Hitchcock.
Okay. That's true. It was SAG nominated.
Like several nominations, right? And Trumbo. Wasn't Trumbo directed by the same guy who directed Bombshell? Isn't it the same guy?
I believe so. Yeah.
Well, say they do love him. Maybe you're right. We are right there, Nathaniel. Maybe Bombshell is just a SAG thing. Mm.
Well, okay, so we briefly touched on this already, but James asks, Parasite's, winning Best Picture with all these film critics, do you think the Academy's finally ready to let a non-English-speaking film nab Best Picture?
That one, maybe. And, that feels like a Hoover for number one votes on preferential ballots. Parasite people don't vote at second or third, but I also don't think almost anybody hates it.
Yeah. The preferential ballot, I could see a case where they don't they don't collectively decide, let's finally give it to a foreign movie, but it just is so high on everybody's ballot, even the people not voting for it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's already overperformed, so why not?
Yeah, and I don't think it's had any of, I don't think it has any of the drawbacks that Roma did last year. It's not slow. It's not too arty for people, you know. I'm talking about mainstream drawbacks.
Yeah. Yeah, and weirdly, I think it might be slightly better positioned than Get Out, which I thought similarly had a claim on a lot of number one votes, and it didn't have a lot of people. Get Out a couple of years ago,
okay,
which, like, you know, reminds me of Parasite for lots of reasons, but I think that one was like a horror film in a lot of ways, but Parasite manages not to be, and so I think there was maybe even a segment that couldn't hang with Get Out who could still do it, and maybe also feel less threatened by something that's not critiquing the culture that they, many of them, live in, or implicating them in the same way, they think.
Yeah. Charlia asks a question about Asian cinema. In short, it's a long question, but it's about it's having such a moment, Burning Shoplifters, Parasite. If we could all recommend three Asian movies since in the new century that we think people should check out. I have one. I think it's the very obvious one. I have more than one, of course. The very obvious one, if for those who haven't seen it, very beginning of the century, In the Mood for Love, Wong Kar-wai. I think it's an absolute masterpiece. So if you haven't seen it, you should check it out. And the other movie I always recommend to people is Poetry.
Yeah, those are great choices. I would say Millennium Mambo.
Ooh.
I saw that movie last year at BAM, and it was one of the best screenings I've ever been to. It's such a great movie. And it's one of those movies that you're so relaxed, you feel like you're flying, or maybe sleeping. It's so good. Just go watch it.
I would say Oasis, which is by Lee Chang-dong, the same guy who made Burning and Poetry.
Mm.
But 2002. Still probably my favorite of his movies, and almost all his movies are so good. Same thing, lesser-known movie by a director a lot of people know, Apichatpong Wirasathakul, who made Uncle Boonmi. I really love his movie Blissfully Yours, which is, like, super sexy and super weird, but not as weird as Tropical Malady, if that freaks you out. God, only one more?
Well, that's some good examples. I just wanted to throw out a few for people who are curious.
I'll say one more since I only said one. If you have 4 hours, 4.5 hours, one afternoon, just spend it with A Brighter Summer Day from Edward Yang. It's beautiful. It's lovely. Do not, if you get it from Amazon, do not read the synopsis on Amazon because it gives it away and something that doesn't happen until 4.5 hours into the film. So don't read the synopsis on Amazon and just watch it.
Here is a question from Victor. Little Women, should I watch the Winona version prior to the Saoirse version?
You should watch the Winona version before.
Right. My thing about this is if you've never seen a version of Little Women, you should see one of the earlier versions. And the Winona one's really good, because, you know, it's a classic story, and it's the type of classic story that lends itself to being remade. And Greta definitely has a new take on it. So I think I do personally think this would be a weird thing for someone to experience Little Women for the first time, because she's like dissecting it the whole time it's going. Didn't you think, Murtada?
Yes. Yes, I agree. And it's if you haven't read the book or seen the other versions, it will be confusing.
Yeah, she jumps around in time. Yeah. It's not completely linear.
Yeah, there is, like, you know, the big thing that happens that Friends spoiled. Like, it happens at the same time that the same person is having the opposite reaction in another time frame, and you're like, huh? What just happened? I just saw them, you know, it is confusing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you're not familiar, get familiar, in other words, before you see Greta's version.
And you'll find that you don't call it the Winona version as much as the Claire Danes version.
Yes, thank you. Claire Danes is amazing as Beth in the 94 version.
The Colleen Atwood version before she made everything out of ripped Mylar or, you know, whatever she does now, before she started shopping at the tacky store.
Mm-hmm.
I would call the new version the Eliza Scanlon and Chris Cooper version because they were my favorites. Same part that Danes played.
The takes are piping hot. I don't see how to watch this and not be like floored by Florence Pugh. You weren't? She wasn't your favorite part?
No, I just told you who my favorite part was.
Sassy.
But I don't want to, you know, because the movie hasn't come out, so I don't want to give
it. Okay, yeah, okay.
I feel like the kid in Marriage Story. Stop fighting.
So David says he has a sinking feeling Jennifer Lopez will be nominated for every precursor but miss on the Oscar mornings. I hope I'm wrong. Do you think I'm wrong?
I understand fear, but I think you're wrong.
Okay. Make David feel better.
Yeah, he's very wrong. I mean, she's not in the, like, the people who miss there are people who have, like, early buzz that hasn't sustained, people who are not as beloved, people have not called the performance of the year. You know, it's not, like, she has things in her favor that are just, you know, Daniel Brühl never had. Let's just say that.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, the competition in that category is not super fierce. Like, if there were a bunch of other really strong contenders, I would worry a little more about the genre bias, like, but
what was that, Nick?
I said it's a pretty wide open field besides her and Laura, right? And if there were a bunch of strong contenders, like if we were talking about best actor, I might be a little worried that people can't hang with the genre of Hustlers or something, but I think the climate conditions are here for her to get in.
Lucky asks, what the hell is going on in Best Actor? I need a deep analysis. Is it possible we have 9 viable contenders? I've been following the Oscar for 10 years and I don't remember an acting race this crowded. It is very crowded.
I think we talked about everybody except Eddie Murphy.
Who I think could still happen.
Do you, Murtada?
I mean, I love the performance very much, but that's the type of movie from just when it was released to that would have, like, I don't understand why he didn't make it a SAG, because he should have been there instead of Edgerton, because it was released early, people love it, it had the same sort of profile, he was working it, he was meeting people the same way that Aaron was doing it, so, and they both got into comedy musical at the Golden Globe, so if he, Taron Egerton has the edge over him. I just don't see him making it. Unless Saturday night, he blows the world with his performance on Saturday Night Live, but I don't even think SNL has much cultural impact anymore.
Mm. Yeah. I still think he's possible, but it is, I was surprised that he was left out of the Screen Actors Guild. I actually thought Dolemite was going to show up in the cast. But now that I've looked back on that, I was like, why did I think that? Why was I so sure? Because I was, like, pretty sure it was. Because, like, he's, to me, he's, like, so, like, I don't even, other than Wesley Snipes, like, when I think of the movie, I always think of him. Whereas with some movies that you expect to show up in ensemble places, you think about all sorts of, like Marriage Story, I'm constantly thinking about different people in that movie. But that didn't end up in cast either.
Or like Jojo Rabbit, where Rebel Wilson is so amazing.
I can't believe that performance from Rebel Wilson is nominated for Best Acting of the Year. This is the same as Abbie Cornish in, what's that movie called? 3 Billboards.
Oh, right, yeah.
What was that movie called? That's so awesome.
Oh, yeah. Didn't 3 Billboards win cast?
Yes, Abby Cornish has a SAG. Yeah, absolutely. For that performance.
So, Rebel, watch out. Rebel's going to be a SAG winner. Yeah, I think the acting in Jojo Rabbit is kind of all over the place, personally.
I think it's mostly bad. And, like, the fact that it got nominated there for Ensemble makes me think that people just must really like the movie, which makes me worried about the next couple rounds.
Yeah.
I mean, it made it everywhere. Editing, production design, costume design, everywhere. Everybody loves Jojo Rabbit.
I'm production design of Jojo Rabbit. Like, a color copy of a magazine article about Moonrise Kingdom. Okay. Like.
Wow. You're just not holding back.
About Jojo Rabbit? No.
This should be a vodcast because you guys are missing all of these great expressions of disdain on Nick's face.
About Jojo Rabbit? They can probably imagine.
Anyway.
I know you like it.
I mean, it's fine. I don't love it. It was definitely a fast fade.
The one positive thing I'll say about Jojo Rabbit is that it's less offensive than Green Book.
I love these compliments that are actually different.
Blurb whore. All you want to do is get on the poster. Less offensive than Green Book.
Brooks Boy wonders if we think there'll be any shocking snubs in the acting categories.
I'll repose that question more specifically because I liked how Joe Reed put it today. Like, who do you think is going to get Cameron Diaz, who's been nominated for everything? But, I mean, I don't know that Cynthia Erivo should feel so secure. And I kind of wonder about Al Pacino.
Yeah, I have to say the Al Pacino thing has really surprised me because when I saw The Irishman, like, the very first screening, I was, like, all about Al Pacino. But I have to admit, even though I was like, oh, my God, Al Pacino totally steals the movie, I was totally in his corner and obsessed with it, and I was like, oh, he's going to win the Oscar, blah, blah, blah. I have to admit that a month or two later, I think about Joe Pesci so much, and I don't really think about Al Pacino that much. So I could see that being a shocking snub.
The name I'll throw out there is Charlize Theron.
Yeah, for a while I thought that surprise snub, if there was one, was going to be Scarlett Johansson, but now I think she's secure.
For both?
No, for Marriage Story.
Marriage Story.
And I think, because I think the Cynthia Erivo situation, like, I was hoping she'd be the surprise snub, because then we could maybe have Alfrey in there, who, you know, is... Like, Cynthia Erivo's performance just didn't do much for me in Harriet. But I think it's wishful thinking on my part. I think it's too iconic of a role, and the role's going to do a lot of the work for her in getting nominated. Which we see happen, and it's not about Erivo. We see that happen all the time with biopics.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I think Theron is more shaky than Erivo.
Yeah. Yeah, because who wants to... Well, it's like the whole thing of, like, people trying to sell. Like, if Renee wins a second Oscar, it's like an Oscar for Judy Garland. And I'm like, it isn't an Oscar for Judy Garland, you know? But people
never
do,
forget. Hashtag.
But people do that. And you're right, Murtada. So people would be like, oh, I'm voting for Megyn Kelly? No, thank you. You know?
Well, they voted for Lynn Cheney.
But she didn't win.
No, we're not having that conversation.
But Margaret Thatcher did win.
That's
yes,
true.
But
Margaret Thatcher has an Oscar if you want to do it that way.
I mean, Meryl is an exception to every rule and every
thing. That's true. That's true. Love you, Meryl. Always the exception. JJ asks, can Nicole Kidman get her fifth nomination? And here's where I have to say that is never going to happen. That is, the SAG is a fluke. And you know I am in Kidman's corner in general, but she's not in much of Bombshell, and it's, It's definitely a weaker performance in the Kidman filmography. She just doesn't have a lot to do in it. So I'm thinking SAG was just very obsessed with Bombshell for whatever reason.
I think she got nominated because, what's her name from Richard, Kathy Bates is in lead, right? Like, if Kathy Bates was in supporting, I don't think Kidman would have gotten in.
Hmm. Yeah, but Kidman still trumped all the people who were still in supporting, which is kind of insane.
I mean, who did she trump? They obviously didn't care for The Farewell, so that wasn't going to happen because it wasn't nominated anywhere else. Annette Bening?
Florence Pugh, Annette Bening.
I mean, they didn't care for Little Women either, so.
Thomasin McKenzie from Jojo Rabbit.
I don't know what we're talking about. We both agree that Kidman does nothing in Bombshell. So why are we arguing? Let's move on.
That's true. And you know I love Nicole Kidman, so please understand I don't want any hate mail about this. It's not about that. I would love for her to have another Oscar nomination.
Nobody's going to send you hate mail once they see Bombshell. They will know you are right.
I will have you know Nicole Kidman also got an AARP nomination.
Movies for grown-ups.
What's that?
Movies for grown-ups.
That's right. That's what their award is.
I'm seeing the lock over there.
And, well, at least they nominated Elfrey there at the AARP movie.
My crowd.
They have taste.
Although they didn't nominate Mary Kay Place and Diane, so they're dead to me. Like, if you're going to have an award where only actors who are over 50 can be nominated, how can you forget her?
She is wonderful. I agree.
I was very, very... Oh, we didn't talk about this. I was very excited about her win at the Los Angeles Film Critics Association. What were there any standouts from you in the earlier round, Nick? Because we haven't heard from you. Who were you, like, squealing about for the New York Film Critics or Los Angeles Film Critics?
I thought Lupita and Mary Kay were both fantastic choices. Mm-hmm. I was really excited about, obviously, Jennifer Lopez getting a Critics Group prize, although I was texting with Justin Chang that, like, maybe we could do, like, a Marriage Story-style swap and send J-Lo back to New York, where it would clearly mean more to her to be honored by the hometown, and Laura could be celebrated in Los Angeles, and, like, order could be restored to the universe, like... What's with these New York critics who don't want to give J-Lo a prize in her hometown? I don't understand that.
Who's more New York than Jennifer Lopez?
More New York? This is what I'm saying.
That's totally true. She was on the fix, people.
I'm excited about the Claire Mathon cinematography nominations, especially when they made sure Atlantics was included in the L.A. citation, which I think is a better shot movie.
I'm a little shocked about this, a little shocked, embarrassed, that I did not realize that it was the same cinematographer, and holy shit.
Yeah.
Let's memorize that name, because both of those movies are gloriously shot. I agree Atlantic may be slightly stronger in terms of cinematography, but they're both beautiful.
Yeah.
So do we know how to pronounce the name Claire?
Mathon, I think.
That's all.
I think. And that first film for Atlantics from New York, like, that was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, New York's choices, I kind of like them all except Best Supporting Actress. I'm just like, what the F?
You're not
into... Me and Murtada are feeling each other tonight.
You're not into Laura Dern? Come on.
Okay, Laura Dern is a great actress. It's a one-note part in Marriage Story that she doesn't dig deeper into. And I think this is the year of Jennifer Lopez. She's great. Win the Oscar for your career. Happy for her. But 2019 is the year of Jennifer Lopez. Like, it's just her year.
But do you think she's a supporting actor or a lead actor?
She's supporting. The movie is about destiny.
Do you agree with us, Nick? Because I keep changing my mind.
Yeah. No, I do.
You're usually with me on category fraud, but you think it's fine.
I don't think it's fraud. I think she's, like, it stays with destiny. For, like, Ramona is gone for quite a while we're not quite sure what's going on with her. Like, we stay with Destiny the entire time they're not together. Yeah. I remember you wouldn't even express that Rooney Mara was your favorite in the supporting actress category out of the principle of her being so wildly mispackaged. So I'm curious how you will deal with the Brad Pitt situation this year. That's my category situation for you.
I have Brad Pitt in lead. I will not break my rules just because I would love Brad Pitt to have an Oscar. So I consider him a lead. There, to me, there's no reading of Once Upon a Time where he's not a lead.
Yeah. I think even Willem Dafoe...
But he has passages of the movies to himself, which people keep ignoring when they say, no, he's just supporting DiCaprio's story. I'm like, he has like 40 minutes of screen time without DiCaprio.
There's a whole 3 hours at the Manson family ranch with Lena Dunham.
Right. A whole mini movie within the movie. And then that's not even counting his like Bruce Lee scene and then all the scenes with Leo. And, you know, he has his own story in that movie.
So who are you going to root for in that category? Pesci?
I can't believe I'm saying this, but maybe, yeah.
Yep.
Unless Alan Alda gets nominated, which I'm hoping.
Okay.
As someone who has watched Hustler so many times, and is the only screener that I think I might need to get another one because it's overplayed, I have used my remote a lot of time to not watch Destiny. So Ramona is definitely...
I love it. That is the most sound reason ever, because I will say that unlike Brad Pitt, who has never left my charts, because I keep charts all year long, of course, because I have to debate this with myself all year long. She has never, Brad Pitt has never left the lead chart. But Jennifer Lopez, I admit, I pushed her back and forth between the two. I'm sure you're all dying to see these charts, which you soon will in the Film Bitch Awards.
I like that you got a siren going right as you mentioned the film. That was good sound editing.
Coming soon. Or was it sound mixing?
No, I think it was editing.
Well, and next year they will be one.
Well, I think that's all the time we have. This was so fun. Although
so
I'm
much fun.
I'm sad we didn't get to talk about Richard Jewell with the three of us, because I want to hear the hottest of all hot takes.
Yeah, those will be so piping. You'll have to come back, Nick.
I'm sure I'm going to love it. And then we can fight about it. I haven't even mentioned Dark Waters, which is...
Oh, that's right, you guys. P.S. This is our little stinger at the end of the podcast. Nick threatened not to come on as the special guest because I hated Dark Waters. Excuse me. I don't want to confuse it with the Jennifer Connelly movie.
That is not exactly what I said. I said I would come on the podcast if you recanted about Dark Waters and reevaluated your position.
But then I refused, but then you still came on, so thank you.
Yeah, I hired Ray Liotta briefly, but I fired him and decided to do what you want.
I was shocked the whole time I was watching, because I really was going to give it a fair chance, because even though the trailer looked horrible to me and I was like, what has happened to Todd Haynes? I thought, but it is Todd Haynes. There's going to be something here. And I just didn't feel it, and it felt like it was 4 hours long.
Break the timer, Todd. What did you think?
I liked it. I didn't love it. But I liked it. I thought it was effective in what it set out to do and achieved its goals. The only thing, you know, I didn't love the performances. I only liked Bill Camp. But I didn't care for Ruffalo or Hathaway. But I liked the movie.
So, Murtada's the mediator this time. The meeting in the middle.